My name is Nikki P, and I'm an addict. Can everybody hear me? Hey, okay. All right, I'm up. My name is Nikki P, and I'm an addict. I'm nervous as hell. It's okay. But I'm glad to be in another meeting of Narcotics Anonymous, and I want to thank Cammy and Joe and all my people from Houston for giving me another opportunity to share this message of hope, this life-saving message of Narcotics Anonymous, and for believing in me, right? I've been going back and forth with Cammy, and that was a wonderful introduction. I hope I can live up to it, right? And I want to hear this tape, because I don't even know which one that is, but sounds like it's a good one. But I don't know what that is, okay? But I've been clean since April 9, 2008, and that includes nights, weekends, and holidays, and that's truly a miracle for an addict like me. I'm talking about somebody that came from using every day, every moment of every single day to no drugs at all. Right, even when I'm in pain, even when I got shit going on, even when I think that I need to get loaded, I have not. And I'm clean today only by the grace of God and this program of Narcotics Anonymous. Like, the program has been of paramount importance, and the reason why I'm still here today is only because of this life-saving message of Narcotics Anonymous. So, like you already heard, I'm from Dallas, Texas. My home group is the Grove Group. If you ever come to Dallas, come by the Grove Group, and we known Texas-wide, so just ask anybody where is the Grove Group, and you will find out. All right, and so that was currently right now. I don't live necessarily. I pass up a couple of groups just to get to my home group, but the Grove Group was where I got my start at. So meaning like that was the first group that I ever went to, like not even clean. I just went to that group straight from the treatment center, and I heard some things shared, and I it just felt like home, right? It felt like that was a good place, you know? And so when I would hear the chairperson share, at our group, they say 90 days clean in the chairperson's workshop, and you too can chair a meeting and be of service to your group. And I'm sitting back there with not even 90 seconds clean, thinking like, damn, I ain't gonna never get to chair no meeting. Right, and that's real. Like, 90 days clean just seems so far beyond my grasp. Like, I wasn't gonna never get clean like that, because I'm telling you, I come from a place of heartbrokenness, like not wanting to use no more, but not knowing how not to use. Like, I don't know if you ever went to the store with your grandmama last $20, saying I'll be right back, and never made it back. Like that was my story, And with a family, like, we didn't raise you like this. What the fuck is wrong with you? Like, this ain't how we raised you, right? You shouldn't be doing this, and in and out of jail, in and out of prison, then get out for a little while and get out of jail and go back to jail. I remember saying one time I had got off parole, and how I got off parole, I don't know. I'm wondering about that shit now. But some kind of way I had made it off parole, and I remember telling my family, I'm gonna make an announcement at Thanksgiving. And my mom was like, all right, we gotta hear this shit. So I waved to everybody, got around the table, and I'm making an announcement, I'm off parole. My family's like, we're good, and I was like, and I'm a smoke and I'm a drink, and I don't give a fuck what nobody thinks. And they was looking at me like, that's some dumb ass shit, but in my mind, that shit sounded good. Like, that was a good plan. That was a good plan of action. That shit I had came up with, fuck everybody, But now in recovery, I understand that when I say fuck you, that really means fuck me. But I didn't understand that shit back then. I believe in literature-based program and literature-based recovery, when I asked Cammy about a topic, and she said, well, just share your story, one thing about our story is that, essentially all our stories are the same. We use drugs. After a while, the drugs start using us. Some kind of way we rolled up in here, right? Whether it's your first day or your 3 million day, the program still applies, you know. And I believe that our message is hope and our promise is freedom, right? Freedom from active addiction. And like above everything else, that's what we do. We instill some hope in some new people and sometimes some old people, right? You know, like I still need that hope to be instilled in me that, you know, I can stay clean through whatever happens. So on this last run, like I said, I've been clean since April 9, 2008. And I started that initially in the last treatment center that I was in. You know, so I was in treatment in jail, 6 month treatment center, getting probably the worst treatment of my life. I ain't trying to advertise no treatment center because that shit ain't what saved my life. You know, the best treatment center I ever went to, I relapsed immediately upon discharge. Immediately. Like plan to, like I didn't have an idea or a plan to even stay clean not 5 minutes after I left. But when I got here, right, they said when all is said and done, that's all we have is our primary purpose. And so when I started coming here, I started seeing people that were clean, you know, that wanted to be clean and that was having fun in recovery. Like I had never seen nothing like that before. You know, you go to a meeting and people laughing and joking and having fun. They wasn't on no probation. They wasn't on no parole. They was just staying clean. I was like, damn, that's cool. I want to do that shit one day. You know, and so I kept coming back. They told me exactly how to do it. You know, when you get that white key tag and then you hear a long, they say, well, tell them how to do it. I don't know if they do this in child group. They say, tell them how to do it. And then they give them a long list of shit to do. You know, you start going to meetings, get you a sponsor, be honest with somebody and make 90 meetings in 90 days. See, somebody just told me, just keep coming back. Just keep coming back. You'll figure the rest of it out. They said, keep coming back, more will be revealed. And this program has continued to be revealed throughout as long as I stay here. So I've been coming around, making regular meetings at my home group. I've struggled in areas of sponsorship, right? You know, I don't know if you've been around a while and you see people and, you know, that same person that looked good to you when you first got here, now you're like, yeah, nah. No, she can't sponsor me, you know. You know, or you be here a while, right, and you start seeing, you know, you just kind of start seeing through what people are sharing. You know, you got a little bit of information and you're sitting in a meeting and you're like, what the fuck are they talking about? You know, where's the message of Narcotics Anonymous? You know what I mean? This is just me, and I ain't trying to give you no way out of the program, but this is just me. I start to kind of veer away from that kind of shit, right? Because I don't need your own suggestions on, you know what I mean, like how to obtain humility when it's in the steps. You know what I mean? Like I don't need your own suggestions. Somebody told me if you want to get some humility, then go out to dinner by yourself, sit at the largest table it is, and you'll get some humility. I'm like, shit, that shit get your ass a long bill and looking lonely over there. See, but what I know about the step working process is that outlined in some of the spiritual principles behind each step, we gain some acceptance. We gain some humility. You know, we get some of that stuff that we're looking for. And right, and what I know about Narcotics Anonymous, it talks about that the more we take care of our personal responsibilities, that increases my self-esteem and my self-worth. Right? And more than anything, I need to feel good about myself, right? Like more than anything, I need to feel good about myself. I'm talking about feeling good about a Nikki that I used to hate. You know what I mean? Feeling good about a person that I used to despise. You know, I'm talking about like even as a young kid wishing I was somebody else. You know, just seeing somebody else and being like, I want to be like them. I want their mama. Well, I wish I had a daddy like they had, you know. Not being okay with who I was on the inside. And how can you be okay with somebody you don't even know who it is? Narcotics Anonymous helped me realize who I was. So when I was in the treatment center, about 5.5 months in, I got a phone call from my mom that said, worst phone call I ever received in my life, right? My mom told me that my 14-year-old son had been shot and killed. Right, I was devastated. I still am. This is the truth. I still am. I'm devastated about that shit that happened. You know, I live today. I recover today with the guilt and shame that maybe if I would have stayed clean at the last treatment center I was at, then that wouldn't have happened. You know what I mean? And when I look at my mom and she got those tears in her eyes that she don't want to let go because she's scared if she show me that she's too sad that I'm going to relapse. You know, like that. Everybody trying to look okay because, see, they like who I am today. So they like, well, shit, don't say nothing about the baby. Nikki might go crazy. Like, don't mention Nicholas because Nikki might, the cheese might slide off the cracker. So just, you know, just be okay with what she had, all right. You know what I mean? And see them dealing with their own pain, their own way, because they don't want to say nothing to me about it. Right? But I get to come in here with y'all and say, you know what, I'm hurting. Right? And somebody listens. Right? I get to come in here with in a program full of people who, when you're dealing with people, right, from all different walks of life, all different backgrounds, everybody done been through something. Everybody done been through everything, but everybody done been through something, right? So everybody done been through something. So if you go into meetings and you can't find nobody that been with you through what you've been through, I don't know if you're sharing it right. You know what I mean? Because my sponsor told me, shit, we want to hear that story without all the fluff. I'm like, what does fluff mean, right? What is fluff, right? So fluff is all that bullshit that I pile on top of the truth that make it sound good. You know what I mean? Like an example of it, right? Well, what happened was, see, we was all together and we was riding in a blue Cadillac and see, I had rolled down the one to right, you know what I mean? And all that shit to say, and I got locked up because I had dope on me. Man, cut out all that fluff and just get down to the real shit. You know what I mean? And so in order for me to get clean and start to the recovery process, like I had to get down to some real truths. You know, I had to get down to some real truths, right? Some, not just truth about the using. Like I said, we all have the experience of using drugs, drugs using us, and then making it here. Like I had to get down to some real truths about how using drugs made me feel. But I ain't talking about the get high feel. I'm talking about the heart feel. You know what I mean? The heart feel, the feel of, you know, that I think I'm a baller, I think I'm some goddamn body, right? And then when I go and buy my dope and they tell me, Nikki, take your bitch ass around to the back. That feeling. You know what I mean? That feeling, that ain't no good feeling. When you with somebody, you say, yeah, I'm going to bring you around here to my partner in them eyes. And they say, take your ass around to the back. And I'm like, this Nikki, yeah, take your ass around to the back too. You know what I mean? I'm talking about the feelings associated with calling my mom and saying I'm locked up again. And her saying, "Who? Thank you, Jesus." And I'm like, why she tripping like that? Yeah, that's a true resentment, right? I had that resentment against my mama for a long time. Because I called her and she was, and I was like, "Mama, they locked me up." You know, I'm mad. I'm like, they locked me up. She said, "Oh, that's, I'm glad. Oh, thank you, baby. That's good." I'm like, why she say that? She want me to be locked up. They trying to keep me down. You know, but really, man, for the next 60 days, she knew I was alive. You know what I mean? She knew I was going to be okay. Right? Because I had done time before, and I made it out of there pretty good. So she felt pretty good with me being in the county. Wasn't no big deal. Like, ooh, that's good. My ass is locked up. Good. You know? But so then I didn't understand that feeling, but see, now I do. Right? But it's because of the step working process. See, I was able to share that exact feeling with a sponsor, an NA sponsor. I was able to share that exact feeling with an NA sponsor and her to help me through that, right? Her to help me through that feeling and then for me to be able to turn around in a ninth step and be like, you know, Mama, I want amends. You know what I mean? I'm talking about when the process becomes real. Right? When I'm sharing with a sponsor in the fifth and then in the ninth, all them people that I said I was mad at, all them jails and institutions and the school and all them folks I said I was mad at, and then now in the ninth step, I'm like, you know what? I fucked up. I want to make an amends. You know what I mean? I'm talking about the step working process. Right? And I'm glad that when I came in here, you know, when newcomers come in, we got to be careful what we say. All right, we got to be careful what we say. Well, you got to come in here and get gut level honest. No, you don't. No, you don't. When you first walk in here, all you need to do is walk in here. We'll help you with the rest. Because I'm glad I didn't have to walk in first day and give my fourth step. Then I wouldn't have been here. You know what I mean? Walk in first day. Well, tell us about everything you never did before in your life. Man, who the fuck are you? You know what I mean? Like, shit, y'all come in here with trust issues. I don't even trust myself, so I don't trust nobody else. Right? So y'all come with trust issues. I got to work on that. Right? All I ask of me in the first step is that I become honest about my drug use. Right? Get honest about that shit and stop telling everybody I just used a little bit. You know what I mean? Stop telling everybody now the reason why I got high because I was married to the dope dealer. Right? Ain't that every woman's story? Okay, I'm going to get off there. I hear that so much. That's a trip right there. I was married to the dope dealer. Damn. Okay. See, I wasn't married to the dope dealer. I just had a good hustle. You know what I mean? I sold your drug to get my drug. But it wasn't like I was hustling. I was just trying to get my drugs. You know what I mean? I'm talking about selling raffle tickets, but it wasn't no raffle. Come on, real shit. That's why I didn't play it out there. I'm like, it probably ain't no motherfucking raffle. I done played that game before. Yeah. But God, hey, nigga, did I win? No, you didn't win shit. Okay, all right. Okay, so I'm just talking about, man, a change of life, a change of lifestyle, right? And so now my life don't consist of all the shit that I used to do when I was getting high. Like, I ain't been to jail in more than 10 years. Right? I'm sorry, that's some miracle shit. That's some miracle shit. You know, and I'm talking about going to jail, probation violation, all that shit, because my probation officer was mean, she didn't like me, all them reasons why I was getting locked up. And I finally, when I got to Narcotics Anonymous, I said, well, could it be the drugs? Could it be the drugs? Well, I wasn't convinced it was the drugs, but I was willing to try. You know what I mean? Because when I came here, they didn't make me pull my fourth step on my seat. You know what I mean? They just told me, hey, what you need to do is just keep coming back, man. Keep coming back. Right, and I remember sliding up to one of the members over at the Grove Group and asking her, you know, because I kept hearing these things at meetings, like, you know, thank God for these rooms. You know, I would hear that shit, right? And I would hear somebody say, you know, they talked about the spiritual principles. And I was like, well, I wonder what that means. Right, so I asked a member, right? I was like, what page is the spiritual principles like? You know what I mean? Because I want to read them, right? And then that way I could say I was practicing them if I had to share. You know what I mean? If they asked me to share, right? I wanted to say I was practicing. Where's the list? What page is they on so I could see the list? But she said, well, you know, they in this book. And she pulled out the Step Working Guide under the heading right there. It says spiritual principles. And so she said, do you have a sponsor? I said, well, not yet. She said, well, if you get you a sponsor, then they'll take you through all this, and then you'll get to this right here. I said, okay. See, so that made me interested in getting a sponsor, right? And then I like facts. That's the type of person I am. I like fact shit, right? And so when I would hear people share, and they would say on page 64 of the basic text, right, on the right-hand column, it's like, damn, this shit good. You know, I like that kind of shit. You know what I mean? And I would have my little book, and I'd say, shit, what? Okay, now I'm like, damn, that was right. She hit that up. You know what I mean? So now I got my book at a meeting, right? Because in case they see a page, I want to see if they got it right. I'm going to look at it. You know what I mean? And, you know, and so now I got my book at the meeting, right? She done told me where the spiritual principles are. So now I'm going to think about getting the old sponsor. I'm going to see who I'm going to pick. Right? Because now, you know, shit, I needed me a popular sponsor. You know what I mean? I didn't want one of them little peons and shit. I need me a popular sponsor and shit. So I'm looking around the room, shit, who I'm going to pick? Who I'm going to pick? You know what I mean? Shit, because I need me a little sponsor with a little money, too. Because I'm new. I'm new. You know what I mean? I don't know. Shit, I don't know what sponsorship is. You know what I mean? All I know is, you know, like Nike sponsored the Olympics. I'm just saying, see, when newcomers come to us, like this real talk, right? When newcomers come to us, they don't know our language. They don't know what we talking about. You know what I'm saying? Don't break my anonymity. That's a word I never heard before I got into Narcotics Anonymous. So what the fuck do that mean? You know what I mean? Like, I never heard these words before. So when they said, get you a sponsor, I'm like, shit, y'all need me a sponsor because I'm on the bus and shit. Shit, I need me a sponsor because, you know, I'm still in outpatient treatment and shit, and, you know, I need some help. So I need me a name brand sponsor that's going to help me through this process. Shit. Right, and then, you know, and if y'all didn't notice, you know, I'm homosexual, lesbian, right? You know, I know a lot of y'all couldn't tell. But so check this out. So I come in here with low self-esteem, masked by high self-esteem. You know what I mean? So I think I'm the flyest thing since sliced bread. Right, but on the inside, you know what I mean? But we're not going to talk about that. So, the hugs y'all was giving me, you know, I love you, you know, and keep coming back. See, I'm not knowing y'all telling everybody that. You know what I mean? I'm like, damn, she like me and shit. That's cool. I might choose her for my sponsor. I don't know. You know what I mean? That bullshit. You know what I mean? But until I got with a sponsor that was like, yeah, I love you, but not like that. She was like, yeah, I love you enough to want you to stay clean. Like, I love you like I loved me when I first got here. You know what I mean? I see that in you. Right, they talk about what is a sponsor. You know, they in the IP sponsorship IP, it kind of narrows down what a sponsor is not. You know what I mean? But see, I hadn't read that. So, but good thing, right, that somebody was able to help me and let me know, hey, this is what we're not gonna do, but this is what we are gonna do. We're gonna work on this, right? And you know, and homework and that kind of shit, you know, at my first sponsor, what she said, she called it, let's get to know you, right? And it wasn't me, it wasn't her getting to know me, it was me getting to know me, right? And I appreciated the sponsorship process, right? Because she would sit down in front of me, man, and we would talk, and I would say some shit and just kind of look at her to see how she was going to eat that, right? I'd be like, yeah. Did that. And she like, shit, okay, shit, I did that shit too. You know what I mean? I'm talking about sharing honestly and openly with me on a deep level, right? I'm talking about my first feeling with intimacy was through sponsorship. You know what I mean? And before Narcotics Anonymous, if you ask me what intimacy was, it didn't have nothing to do with both of us wasn't naked. I didn't know that I could be intimate with another woman with our clothes on and we just talking. You know, we talking, we drinking coffee, we crying, and we were smoking cigarettes. And we was getting intimate, right? You know, and that's where I first really started to understand. When I first started to understand that I was powerless over my addiction. You know, do you understand? I didn't know that I was powerless over my addiction until I started working steps, right? I thought all the things that my family had told me all this time was that I used drugs because I didn't care about nobody. You know what I mean? When my mama would say, Nikki, you're doing this shit because you want to. See, I didn't know that I just, like, that I couldn't stop. You know, I didn't know that I wanted to stop using, you know, but I just didn't know how. Right? I just didn't know how, and I didn't know what my life was going to be like if I stopped getting high. You know, that's a hard realization to a person that's been using a long, long time. You know, like, what is my life going to look like if I stop getting high every day? Like, then what am I going to be doing and shit? You know what I mean? Like, where, I mean, you know, all my friends get high. Where I work at, we get high. Like, what am I going to do? So, but see, I didn't understand, like, that once I started using drugs, that it was impossible for me to stop, but just because I wanted to, right? Then I didn't understand that, but okay, this is what it says right here. Step working, guys, step one, page 3, it says, We may have tried to abstain from drug use or other compulsive behaviors, perhaps with some success, for a period of time without a program, only to find that our untreated addiction eventually takes us right back to where we were before. Right? And unfortunately, I wasn't able to get no period of time with no success. Well, let me say a few hours. Right? Because this is basically, you know, using for me would be similar to something like this. Tonight, this is it. I don't give a damn what happened. I ain't getting high no more. Like, I got the report thirsty and shit. And I'm just tired of doing this shit. I ain't getting high no more. Fuck it. Damn shit. An hour later, 2 hours later, or the phone ring. Hey, nigga, let's just go hit a lick. Okay. And then I go. And then, right, I'm so fucked up because I would forget about an hour ago when I said, I don't care what happened. Right, I forgot that I said I wasn't going to use today. Shit. All right, and then the disease of addiction, right, that's centered in my thinking. Right, disease of addiction centered in my thinking is like, well, fuck it, just stop tomorrow. Right, you know what I mean? Like, you know, and step one helped me get rid of those lies that I was telling myself. You know, when it talks about hitting bottom, isolation, and despair, you know, it helped me get rid of those inconsistencies, those untruths that I had been telling myself for so long. You know, like, shit, all the cool people get high. Like, as long as I ain't shooting no heroin or smoking no crack, I'm good. That shit. Right? You know, and so I got to tell myself something for a long period of time so I won't get high. That's just something I got to tell myself. Right? Well, shit, long as I'm paying my bills. Right? Right? Long as I ain't bad as her. Ooh, she out there bad. You know, at least I still take care of myself. You know what I mean? Like, I need some form of denial to keep me using. Right? And then after a while, it just become fuck it. Shit, I can't think of no more real fuck it. Shit. I got the report tomorrow. Shit, fuck it. Shit, they gonna put me out. Fuck it. You know, I was sharing with somebody. You know, like my light bill would come out, and I would say, you know, well, $150, and if I only had $100, I'd be like, shit, I ain't got it. You know what I mean? Like, it don't dawn on you just gonna pay that. And I was like, shit, I ain't got it. They want a whole 150. Shit, cut them. I ain't got it. Fuck that. Shit, they finna take all my damn money and I'm working every day. Shit, that's bullshit. Shit, they got me fucked up. That's the kind of shit. Right? You know what I mean? Until, you know, so like I got clean in April. And like in January 2008, I remember that I used to, well, prior to January, my mom always enabled me because I had a young son. So she would always help me out with money and, you know what I mean? Like, you know, help pay my rent that I didn't have no rent, but that's another story. But she helped me. I'll tell that another day. You have to call me for that one. But she had got within her mind that, you know, I'm not helping you, Nikki, I'm just hurting you. You know, and so she tried a couple of things like, well, I'll pay half of your bill. I'm not going to pay the whole thing because you're working every day. You know, and you need to help you. And so, well, that was fine. I was like, yeah, I understand that. Okay. And now all of a sudden, now my bill 300. And I got the 150. Can you bring the 150? You know, and the deal, okay. So y'all get that. Okay. And so after she got tired of that, in January of 2008, I called her. I said, well, mama, they just cut my lights off. She said, what? She said, I'm on my way. So I and my daddy, they come over there, and it's dark as hell in the house, and it done got cold and shit, and she said, well, Nicholas, go get your clothes and stuff, and come on, and we bought you some candles. And I said, that was low, but I'm talking about I had reached a new level of low, you know what I mean, because my family, they was through. They had already put out about me. You know what I mean? My mama done called my grandmama and they done said, you know what, Nikki full of shit. You know what I mean? Like, no, we gonna take Nicholas over here and she can just do whatever she gonna need to do for herself. right? And I remember, I'm talking about a low state in my life, something happened to me, right? Where I truly wanted some help, but I didn't know how to get it. I'm talking about surrender ain't easy. You know what I mean? Like, surrender ain't easy. Even when you know that you need to surrender, surrender is still, it's unnatural. Shit, it's unnatural. You know, somebody throw you off in a pool and you can't swim, shit, you fight. Don't shit say just relax and you'll float to the top. That's bullshit. You kick, you swing, you fight. Shit, fuck that surrender. That's bullshit. Right? You know, I mean, that is unnatural, man. You know, so what we asking a new person fresh off the street to do is something unnatural, man. Just surrender. Man, if I could have just surrendered, I would have stopped getting high when they came out with that say no to drugs shit back when I was in school. All that shit they were saying say no to, I was like, well, shit, I ain't never tried that shit. They were advertising to me. That shit didn't stop me from doing. So I'm just saying, man, you know, be conscious of what we telling a newcomer. But something within me knew that I needed to change. So I started my foxhole prayers. You know, and I meant them too. I meant them. If you just help me out of this one, Lord, I promise you. You know what I mean? And I'm talking about I'm desperate now. You know what I mean? Like, I'm talking about I'm ready for whatever now. Right? But I'm still getting high. I'm talking about I'm feeling low, lower than low. Like I heard a lady share one time, I was feeling so low, if I looked up, there was the ground. I'm talking about I'm feeling low, man, like I ain't gonna make it. You know what I mean? Suicide became an option. You know, like I just want to die right now, man, because it ain't coming out right. It ain't coming out right, you know? And so I wanted to die, and I remember praying that night. You know, just one more time, the same way I had been doing. I just want a way out. I just want to stop. You know, and when I woke up that morning, there was a knock on the door. That was the Dallas Police Department coming to get me. Now, you know I ran, don't you? I ran. I'm trying to surrender, but goddamn, don't come in on me. So, they came in there and got me, right? Probation violation. That was April 9, 2008, right? And I've been clean ever since then because I had said if I could just get clean, I feel like I could stay clean. You know what I mean? Like getting clean was harder than staying clean ever was, man. You know, and I don't know about y'all, but that's just my story. Getting clean was harder than staying clean has ever been. You know, if I could just get clean, man, I know I could stay clean. Right? I know I can stay clean. And that's why I feel like that right now. So, I was talking with a friend, right? And you know, we see people that relapse, you know, man, they go back out, you know, and I'm like, fuck, man, I hate this shit happen. You know, what happened? What the fuck happened? Oh, I was at a party and I thought that was my drink, but that was a liquor. Oh, really? Okay, that's all you got? You know, and so I sometimes, right, because I still have the disease of addiction. You know, I have some information now, I know how to treat it, right? But I still have the disease of addiction, right? You know, and sometimes it comes to me like, you know, I wonder if I can just drink just one. And then come back in and act like this shit happened. You know what I mean? I sometimes wonder about that shit. You know, I wonder, if what they, you know, because I work in a treatment field, right, and we say drug of choice. You know what I mean? That drug of choice. I hear that shit a lot, drug of choice, but see, when we come in here, we don't talk about that kind of shit. Y'all just say, you using a motherfucker, you ain't. It ain't no, what was your drug of choice, and the other people sit over here, and the other, it ain't separated like that. It's like about recovery of choice. Right? And so when I'm working in the treatment field and I hear drug of choice, and I'm like, well, maybe if I drink, I won't go back to my drug of choice. Possibly. You know, but this is the truth, right? If I had a guarantee, I mean, Jesus himself had to come down and, okay, Nick, I promise you. You're going to be good. get you a little bit, and tomorrow I'm going to make it happen for you. Okay, then I might do it, but see, there's no other guarantee. And see, I can't risk it. You know what I mean? I'm scared to risk it, man. You know, like when I go to the dentist and they say, well, we're going to give you a little something. I said, no, you're not going to give me a damn thing. Oh, you have legal? No, I don't have legal shit. No, I'm allergic. Right? Because see, when I take that shit, something happens to me, man. You know, and see, I don't know if I take it right now, is something going to happen to me tomorrow, next week? I'm a firm believer that I can do something in April to have me use it in November. I believe that, man. You know, so I ain't scared of the world out there, but I just have gratitude for my recovery today. Today, I'm the best Nikki that I've ever been. Like, even before the drugs. Like, I'm the best Nikki today than I've ever been in my life. To my even when I was little, before drugs even ever came into play, and why risk that shit? Why risk it? You know, because y'all told me, right, that I never, ever, ever have to use drugs again. Right? No matter who I'm with, no matter who I'm around, or what my life is like, how bad shit goes. And I'm talking about sometimes shit gets bad for me. You know, I told y'all that I live with guilt, shame, pain on a daily basis. Right? Like, you know, out of 7 days in a week, 4 nights, I probably have a nightmare. I'm talking about a horrific nightmare. You know, about my son, and you know that, you know, I'm not doing what I can to save him. These are always in my dreams. You know what I mean? And then I got to wake up and go to work tomorrow. And I've been scared all fucking night. Like Freddy Krueger, like I don't even want to go to sleep, because if I have a nightmare, man, I don't know, man. You know what I mean? Right? I'm talking about that. But if I could just give me something to take the edge off. You know what I mean? But I'm talking about how much edge is it going to take off, though? I can't risk too much. You know what I mean? Like, I ain't got that much edge. You know? And so I just can't risk everything, man. Because whenever I'm concerned with what my future is like, all I got to do is look behind me. Right? And I know what behind me looks like. I don't know what tomorrow is going to look like, but I know what yesterday was like. I'm talking about feeling low, like a sheet of notebook paper just flying in the wind. You don't know where the motherfucker going to land. You know what I mean? No purpose, no direction, no nothing, man. I'm talking about hopelessness, despair, man. I can't go back there. Right? And y'all told me, if I don't put no dope on it, man, I ain't got to do that shit again. Right? And so I live a lifestyle of a recovering person, you know? And so now I got somebody in my life who's not in recovery, right? She's not in recovery, but she respects my recovery, right? She respects my recovery, right? To where, like, you know, I don't have to worry about what she finna order if we go out to eat. You know what I mean? Because, like, I don't want to live around that shit where, shit, I'm wondering if she go to the bathroom, can I get a little bit down? You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, I just don't want to live like that, right? I don't want to live with somebody that got a 12-pack in the refrigerator. You know what I mean? I just don't want to live like that. That, and it's just my personal story of recovery. So initially, I thought I was doomed to just fucking with women in the program. Bam! You know, the selection gets slim and trim. The selection was getting low. Selection getting low, you know what I mean? Right? So, I mean, so what I had to do, right, is I got to know that recovery is my medicine. And I got to take that, right, regardless of what anybody else does. And so what I've learned is if you love somebody and somebody loves you, they're going to respect what you have to do for yourself. So I meant to be here all day, but all my rides kicked out the way. They said, nah, I ain't going, Nikki. Ooh, I got shit I got to do. I got to go to church. All this shit they got to do, right? And then my baby said, well, I'll go with you, baby. And she don't know. She said, y'all reading plastic papers in there. She don't even care about the program, right? But But she understands, right? And see, she ain't never seen me.
Yeah, yeah.
She ain't never seen that. And I don't think she wants to. You know, man, because I gave her a disclaimer early on. Baby, I'm in the program. I said, listen, because I'm trying to help you. Trying to help you. If I relapse, send me the treatment one time. If I don't go or I act like I don't know what the fuck, you get your shit and run. Because if you stay, it's on you, baby, because I'm telling you, you don't want to see this. If give me one chance to get the treatment, if I act like I don't know where they at and don't know how to get in and all that bullshit, uh-uh. They wouldn't take me and all that shit, uh-uh. Get your shit and go. That day, don't wait, right? Don't wait. I'm talking about because, see, it won't be long. The progression of the disease of addiction, man, sometimes it's fast, sometimes it's slow. I already had my slow. So the next one probably be pretty goddamn quick. You know what I mean? Because I ain't going out on no little shot or some accidental sip. No. That's some bullshit. Motherfucker going to talk about they relapse on some dinner wine. Uh-uh, not me. Not me, my baby. You fucked yourself. No. So I'm just saying, man, you know, today I got something to live for. Right? Today I got something to live for. And, you know, on those days that I feel like I don't have something to live for, I make it something to live for. You know, staying clean is my first priority every day. Staying clean must come first. I don't give a fuck what else happened. Staying clean got to come first. It ain't the job. It ain't the family. It ain't none of that shit. Staying clean must come first, and I understand that today I do. So if you're new, welcome. This is an exciting program, man. Get with some people. Get with some people. There's some people in here that have learned how to stay clean through whatever. Some people in here have learned how to stay clean through whatever. And one thing about, if you in here, they don't mind sharing the hope. They don't mind sharing the hope. So if you're new, welcome. Get some numbers before you leave. Our message is that an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. I'm going to keep coming back.